So we thought we would take it back to the
milk was a bad choice.
The origins of the Big Hunt podcast, Big Hunt Guys, where we did it from the tent. A lot of these stories happen out in the woods.
Of course. And it's just going to make me more nervous.
More scary. Are you more nervous now that you're in this environment?
Yeah, a little bit. I just don't know what to expect. Like you know, you're the producer of this whole thing. So you know what's going on. You picked and choose the best ones. So
I don't know. Even though I've read these, I've gone through them and read them and reread them. There's a few of them that when I read them this morning and put them into the format so we could read them out, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, see, when you tell me stuff like that, you know how I am.
A little bit of a scary cat?
I mean, it just gets in, it's never going to like keep me from going or doing something.
Sure.
But it just, yeah, I think about it. I'm one of those guys in the back of your head. Yeah.
Are you a guy that, like when you're out in the woods and you're alone and it's dark, real dark night, do you have those thoughts creep up?
Yeah, I put my head down and go, but I'm definitely like fighting off those thoughts in my head the whole time.
What are the thoughts that come to mind? Like, you know, what's the first and foremost?
Certain stories I've heard in the past where it like pops in my mind and
is it the paranormal?
Is it me this time?
Is it paranormal? Is it axe murderers? Is it?
It's definitely more paranormal than like, you know, like my wife, every time I have her out in the backcountry with me, she goes down the path of like a prison escapee.
Yeah. That one's not
so out there for me. And it's like, that's a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a hunter and have weapons and they're...
Sure. I don't know,
that's human.
As I read these, the scarier ones are all...
The real ones?
That was my take home as I
went. The paranormal gets me and mountain lion stuff gets me.
Okay. Well, there's a couple in here for you then.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
The paranormal doesn't bug me at all. It's the human element. It's the...
I don't know why like, I'm
what's,
backwards
what's watching
that.
You when you don't know they're there?
Well, yeah, that is...
That creeps
that's
me
That's nerve-wracking.
Yep. So anyway, we're in the new Dyneema teepee. I thought I would note that. We thought it'd be a fun little environment to do this podcast. Yeah.
You even got the red light in here.
Yep, that's live. I should tell people, I think we only have about 40 some available in the warehouse. So if you want one, now's the time to get one.
After today, it'll be about one.
Yeah, maybe. And then
they're,
I don't know.
They're going.
I don't know how far out we are, but if you want one, now's a great time to buy one. But... you ready to dive in? You want to dive in?
No.
To the Big Hunt Guys Halloween
episode Not really. Edition? But let's do it.
Okay. We'll let you dive in. First story.
I'm the first guy up.
Here's the thing. So I it's a good story when the person asks to remain anonymous.
And that's this one that I'm reading?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, when the person's like, I'd like to remain anonymous if possible, you're like, okay.
Wow.
All right. So you ready?
Sure.
Dive in.
We're just right off the bat like
that? I think so. So we got a lot to get to.
Mentally prepared.
We got a lot to get to, so we want to get as many as we can.
All right. So, number one, asked to remain anonymous. Fantastic way to start. All right. So anyone that lived in Utah around 15 years ago will remember the guy that was all over the news and was called the Mountain Man.
Do you remember this?
No.
I do. As soon as I read it, I was like, oh, yep. Remember that.
Okay. That's a great start.
Yep.
For years, no one knew who he was. It was almost like a mythical creature where he kept breaking into all these cabins and never got caught. I do know this story.
Mm-hmm.
I think I do know this now.
Do you guys have any run-ins with this dude?
If this is the story, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. When he would break into cabins, he would do all sorts of crazy stuff. Once they finally identified him from a cabin camera, it took years for him to still get caught. A quick Google search of Troy Knapp, N-A-P-P, the Utah Mountain Man, will give you all sorts of info about him. He was a skilled outdoorsman, wore army camo, and lived off the land when he wasn't breaking into cabins. Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
Yep. Great. This guy has a real run-in.
Did he ever get in your cabin?
He into a friend of ours.
No way.
Yeah.
For real?
Uh-huh. That was close to ours, but never ours.
Do you ever have fantasies of like doing this yourself? Just like living off the land, your military fatigues and you're out there?
For sure.
Yeah, me too.
All right. In September of 2011, that was Okay. In September 2011, I was on a solo scouting trip for elk. I was scouting the Beaver unit in a big drainage between Beaver and Circleville. Need to spit out this chew that I have. Sorry, I'm breaking this first part up a bunch, but I was scouting the unit because my dad had the points to draw his limited entry tag for muzzleloader elk the following year, and I wanted to learn the area before he burned his points on the unit. Super smart.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been 38 years old at the time. I am very accustomed to being alone in the mountains for days at a time. On my second day of scouting, I was hiking in on a game trail and was a couple miles from my truck. Getting into the area, I wanted to be there for the evening. I was on a game trail in a thick area when I came across one of those three-wheeled bicycle tire strollers. Three-wheeled bicycle
tire strollers. Like a baby stroller?
Oh, no. That's the other thing.
Is a dead baby in it? Just kidding.
Oh.
I'm just kidding.
I would have just stopped reading.
I took that one way down.
I would
have to scratch
reading.
That part.
Yeah. The kind mothers run behind while pushing their... Oh, yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it's the kind that the mothers run behind while they're pushing their babies. That, okay. Mm-hmm. The three-wheeled, like, off-road style strollers. It was about 10 yards off the trail, and I remember thinking how strange out of place it was. From any direction, it would have been challenging to get it to where it was. You would have had to have lifted it over a lot of deadfall stands and bushwhacked with it. This was a game trail in the middle of nowhere. Not thinking, I walked up to it and looked around to see if anybody was there. I didn't see anyone. I didn't call out or anything, although I remember thinking it didn't look abandoned. It wasn't dusty and it hadn't been rained on. There was a little clearing nearby, but again, didn't see anyone. I looked into the stroller to check out what was in there. There was a jar of peanut butter. I opened it, and there was a fresh finger mark that you could tell somebody scooped out peanut butter and eaten it. Man, I would have just walked the other way. I wouldn't be unscrewing peanut butter jars. There was an open box of crackers. My thoughts went to that. It must be a homeless person or something.
Mm.
There was a map of the Manti LaSalle Range, Skyline Drive area, north of where I was.
Mm. That's a different unit, but anyway.
Yeah, that's like...
This guy's a true hunter. That's how you can tell. He's already trying to throw people off. He's like, as I was on the Beaver unit,
yeah,
I had a map of the Manti. I was off the Skyline Drive. Everyone's like, no, I have no clue where this dude was.
Yep.
That's why he asked to remain anonymous. Maybe.
I'm sure. There were matches and a flashlight. There were a couple clothing items, a green hoodie, a pair of socks, and gloves, if I recall correctly. I have no idea why I was rummaging through this stuff, other than everything seemed so out of place. All of a sudden, I looked up, and a fear came over me like I was being watched. I can't describe it. Okay, I'm getting the feeling. I can't describe it.
Do you get the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Yeah, me too. I just had that.
I can't describe it, but I could just tell someone was watching me. It almost paralyzed me to where I couldn't just run. I backed away from it and started walking back down the trail where I had come from. I kept turning in all directions to make sure no one was following me from any direction. As soon as I was about 100 yards away from the stroller and down the thick trail, I pulled out my GPS and marked my location. And then literally just started running towards my truck. I did not have any kind of weapon or sidearm with me, right? Because it was scouting, so it makes sense. Right. Just my day pack with water and my normal hunting stuff. I ran and hiked fast all the way back to my truck, looking behind me to make sure I wasn't being followed. Once I was in my truck, I felt safe. I left that area and drove straight into town, losing the evening scouting, which I would normally never have done. I started thinking my mind was just playing with me and I'd overreacted.
I love that detail.
I know.
I would never.
That's a true hunter too.
Yeah.
I mean, if
I would
we're
have
going
never
in,
ditched out an evening scout.
I mean, it's really important.
This is serious.
Yeah. Like he must have really, really felt it.
Yep.
I would normally never have missed that. I started thinking my mind was just playing with me and I'd overreacted, but while I was driving, I thought about how there were cabins about a mile above the area where I had come across the stroller. Who in their right mind would have hauled that stroller into there? It was steep, thick, up towards the cabins. That was the first time I thought of the mountain man I had heard about in the news. I thought to myself, could I have just encountered the mountain man?
Ugh.
I decided to call the local police when I got to town. I explained to dispatch that answered the phone what had happened. I was expecting them to take my info, but wasn't expecting the urgency they gave it. She had me repeat what general area the incident happened, and then she said, "Do not hang up. I'm getting the sheriff on the line." The sheriff joined the call and asked me to share the story, and we went through everything in great detail. The sheriff asked lots of questions and was very grateful I had GPS coordinates, which I gave to him. I could tell they were very interested in every detail. They took my info, and I felt grateful that I had called. I spent a lot of time hunting solo, and never before or since have I felt that intense feeling of being watched like I was that day. I was rattled enough that I moved 30 miles north to the complete other end of the unit and finished my scouting trip the next day, and ended up coming home early. Ended up coming home a day early, which again, you can tell, because if you're going up on a scouting trip and you cut it early.
A lot of details as to how serious this
was. I never did hear back from the sheriff or anyone else about the incident, but I 100% believe that I had an encounter with the infamous Utah Mountain Man before he was caught. I followed the story intently until he was caught, and he did pass through that region of the state more than once.
But what if it wasn't? And there's some deranged peanut butter eating individual still out on the mountain.
I mean, that is the creepy part. That's it's like the creepy you part. Still don't know. Like, yeah, you can write it off as to.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing more alarming than finding something that shouldn't be there when you're out way out away from everything and you think you're completely on your own, and then you find something so unusual that you're just like, this should not be here.
A baby stroller in the backcountry, I'm going the other way.
Yeah, that would freak me out.
I don't like anything about that.
That feeling of being watched, it's like I said, all the paranormal stuff, I can get over that, I think, because I don't necessarily buy into it, but somebody watching you.
And that feeling.
That one freaks me out.
Keep up the great work, guys. By the way, random plug, I got the Go Hunt game bags this year, and they are the best I've ever used.
Oh, nice.
I've been a Go Hunt member for years. I love what you guys are doing. Keep innovating.
Right.
I appreciate that,
yeah,
that anonymous
awesome.
Guy.
Yeah, that's creepy. That's a creepy story.
Would you have checked out the
No, I would have shore? Never gone through. So this has happened to me a number of times where I've been running, like trail running. Well, I've been out... Like, I think I can't remember if I've told this story or not, but one time I was trail running at a local trail system, and I come around a bend, and there's like one of those old Oldsmobiles, like in a wash with the door open, which I thought was weird. So I stopped running and just kind of cautiously, you know, paralleled it, looking at it. And then I looked down, and there was a dude passed out in the wash who had too much to drink, it looked like.
Yeah.
And he was laid out in the wash, just passed out. It was like 7:30, 8 in the morning, which weirded me out. But I don't go.
Did you call that one in?
I called that one in, but I don't go through people's, like, I wouldn't. Yeah, there was no chance. I went the other way as quick as I could, straight to cell phone service, and then just called that one in. But
did I tell you about my Utah story? I feel like I've told that one before.
I don't know.
That's a long story. If we have time at the end, I'll tell it. I'll leave people on a cliffhanger.
Okay. Yeah, that one's creepy though. I don't like being watched.
No.
This one's kind of out of a similar vein.
Great.
I don't want to give it away, but this one's a long one. I appreciate the details. So this is William and Grant, and it's from Texas. All the details about this, I think, paints a picture. Gives you the full vibe, right?
So more details to think about when I'm hiking in the dark by myself.
Yeah, so it says, this story took place in the summer of 2019, deep in the piney woods of eastern Texas. For anyone, this took place in the summer of 2019. He said, for anybody that hasn't been there, this region is known for its thick, black, beautiful stands of pine plantations and replanting pine savanna forests. The deer hunting there is decent at best. And of course, being in Texas, corn and protein feeders are the name of the game. Thankfully, to make up for the lackluster deer hunting in the region, it's also known for its incredibly dense population of feral hogs. Unbeknownst to most, feral hogs actually make pretty good table fare and even better target practice, he says.
Well, I'd agree with the second part of that.
Yeah. He says they're the best and most cost-efficient way to get reps in the red zone for deer and elk or whatever other game animal you plan on hunting in the fall.
That was an old elk-shaped plug right there.
Mm-hmm.
Reps in the red zone.
Absolutely. Was it?
Yeah. That's what Dan...
That's, and not I really
love,
Dan always said.
Yeah, I love how true. Dan says that because...
Yeah, and I think it's actually... There's a lot of truth to that.
And it's like the most... polite, elegant way to say.
Right, most political.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I actually really like how he says reps in the red zone.
Says their numbers are practically endless. There's zero regulations, no limits, no season, no rules. Kill on sight.
this army guy? Sounds like an army guy. Yeah.
He says, I gained access to a piece of private property through a family friend who bought it for taking his family deer hunting in the fall. The property was 100 acres or so of deep, thick pine timber with a little swamp mixed in here and there. A great hunting property, and he set it up just for that. Since acquiring the property, the owner placed 3 or 4 corn and protein feeders up in good locations for different winds and accompanied them with boxes or shooting tripods. He even had just finished construction of a little off-the-grid log cabin on the property. Half mile off the road, generator powered, no water, no cell phone service, and a simple cabin in the woods. I love the details in these types of. It's funny when you ask somebody to tell you a scary story. I mean, this is probably true, and I believe the man. But I love the slip ins of like half a mile off the road, no water, no cell phone service.
Well, what I
just paints the picture.
What I appreciate out of it is it's painting the picture of like that's heaven for a hunter, like heaven on earth for a hunter. So everything should be good.
Sure. You've been to Texas.
Oh yeah.
Like you get out there and to me, it's actually more, it's actually like a little more intimidating because at least some of the parts of Texas are just so flat and brushy and thick that it feels like you're on the moon. I mean, it feels like you are so far disconnected from
everything. Where my family's from. Right. I go back there quite a bit and I'm very thankful they moved. Out,
to me, I would be more scared in that type of environment, like more intimidated than I would be in a mountain landscape hunting muleys.
Yeah.
Anyways, he says he only ever really used the property for deer hunting and as such, and it remained vacant pretty much the whole year. Besides him occasionally visiting to change trail camera batteries or refill feeders. And because of this, he didn't mind if myself and a friend who were both new to bow hunting at the time went out there to get some reps in the red zone on pigs. We were both really excited to get a chance at an almost sure thing. Both of us had never really hunted private land before, let alone over a feeder. We were pumped. One Saturday afternoon in the late summer, myself and my friend drove up to the place separately as we lived in different cities. It was a standard South Texas, brutally hot and humid day with virtually no wind, especially down in the deep pine thickets. We wasted no time on arrival to get our gear ready, take a few practice shots with the bow, and before we knew it, we were headed in our separate blinds and feeders to try to get on some pigs. The blind I went to was about 400 yards from the cabin, and it was set up for rifle hunters, so I ended up sitting up on the ground beside a tree about 30 yards from the feeder so that I was within range with my bow. Time went quickly by, and before I knew it, the clock struck 7:30, and I was startled by the loud chatter of the corn feeder spreading corn all over the 10-yard perimeter of the feeder. I can imagine that. You're sitting there dead quiet in that Texas heat and humidity, and it's starting to get dusky.
Yeah, and then the old dinner bell goes off.
The old dinner bell goes off. That would startle me. I could see that. He says, like clockwork, within a few minutes, pigs began emerging from the dark pines just behind the feeder. Their black bodies almost invisible to the darkness back within the pine veil. A decent-sized sow and 5 or 6 of her 15-pound piglets made their way to the feeder. I could hear them crunching on the corn and snorting with the satisfaction at their free meal. As the sow made a circle between myself and the feeder, I slowly drew back my bow and aimed right behind the shoulder, right where I knew her heart lay. As she paused to root through the pine straw for more corn, I let it fly. I watched the arrow go straight through her heart, fully passing through the 80-pound animal and coming to rest about 10 feet behind the feeder. She let out a short squeal and bolted back into the darkness of the forest. Her piglets instantly scattered like cockroaches. But after a second or two, they hesitated, then slowly calmed back down and continued feeding on the free meal. I thought to myself, hey, more targets. As they continued feeding on their own version of crack cocaine like nothing had happened. I loaded a second arrow, this time patiently waiting for the piglets to align themselves perfectly to make a piglet shish kebab.
I love this guy's writing style. Yeah.
Within a minute or two of them frantically scrounging up as much corn as they could, 3 of the piglets finally aligned themselves perfectly. I drew back and released, satisfyingly watched my arrow fly straight to the center of the first pig, blow right through it, and continue into the next, stopping with the 2 piglets attached to either end of the arrow. The piglets squealed as they realized they were stuck. They spun in circles a couple times before either of them ended up running off into the woods. One of them barely made it to the tree line before I saw it do a somersault and come to rest just inside the edge of the woods. The other didn't even make it that far. Elated at the 2 perfect shots I'd made, I almost got up, but something holds me back. A low growl coming from the woods behind the feeder. More pigs. I knock a new arrow Just as a big boar emerges from the veil of darkness, more cautious than the others, he surveys the situation for what seemed like hours before he finally broke and cautiously crept towards the feeder. One step at a time, he slowly worked his way towards the buffet on the ground. Quickly losing light, I decided it was my chance to take a shot at the boar with him at about 35 yards. I released and instantly realized that in my excitement, I used the wrong pin on my scope. I watched in disappointment as my lighted nock skipped across the ground like a rock on a frozen lake, zipping off well past the feeder and into the now pitch black shroud of darkness before disappearing from view. The boar surprisingly did not run, but instead postured up to the sound of my bow like he was ready to fight. I quickly grabbed my last arrow out of my four-arrow quiver and knocked it onto my bow. Shaking with adrenaline, I drew the bow back. Remembering to aim correctly this time after my blunder on the last shot, I released and once again watched my lighted nock fly directly where I was aiming and bury into the chest of the big boar. I watched as he hunched down and took off like lightning into the forest, my lighted nock flickering into the trees as he ran. With darkness completely closing in on me now, the kind where you can't hardly see your own hand in front of your face, I turned on my crappy flashlight and headed back to the cabin to rendezvous with my friend, who had no luck that evening. Upon arrival at the cabin, we were greeted with a now eerie feeling. Neither of us had been to the property at night, and the cute cabin in the woods now looked like something from a horror film. A pitch black single-room cabin in the woods with nothing around it for at least a mile in any direction. However, with no time to worry about silly things like that, we took off and headed to the feeder location to hopefully recover my four pigs. Now, for this part of
the story, I feel like this is where it turns.
Yeah. Now, for this part of the story to make sense, we need to pause and explain the setup once again. Imagine the corn feeder at the center of a clock. I was at 6 o'clock. All the pigs were shot more or less at the feeder at the center. The sow I'd shot first ran into the woods at 12 o'clock and piled up 15 yards into the trees. The piglets didn't even make it that far, and the boar ran off towards 9 o'clock into the woods. Both of the arrows from the first two shots were recovered, and we spent a few minutes searching the woods for the arrow from the missed shot at the boar with no luck. No big deal. You lose arrows from time to time. Didn't think anything of it. Once we found the sow and her piglets and dragged them out to the feeder, we began to track the boar into the woods. The blood trail was amazing, like following a paint truck leading crimson paint. I can see that. The boar had run about 150 yards directly on the 9 o'clock line away from the feeder. However, as we walked up onto the dead boar, we both felt shivers down our spines as we laid eyes on the scene. The boar had died on the run. He had plowed into the ground and was laying with his head down on the ground, with his body laying upright. He says pigs have short little legs, and when they're dead, they prop up easily. Not unusual. What made the hairs on the back of our neck stand up was the arrow. On his back, balanced perfectly, perpendicular to the pig's body as if it were placed there, laid my cleanly missed arrow.
Gross. I don't like this.
Perfectly clean. No blood, no dirt. Lock-nighted, glaring red across the body, lighting the surrounding scene. The arrow that killed the pig was still sticking out of the chest of the boar, partially driven into the dirt.
I don't like this one. Does it keep going?
Yeah. He says, my friend and I paused and looked at each other, both growing more and more confused by the second. It was physically impossible for my arrow to be here. I watched it skip off into the woods behind the feeder. There was no possible way it could have made a hard left turn once into the woods and skipped over 100 yards through the dense forest and came to rest on the back of a dead pig. He says, with nervous laughter, we quickly exclaimed how weird it was that it couldn't have happened, and we dragged the pig back towards the feeder. The pitch black woods being closing in on us as our drag seemed to grow in distance by the second. We desperately wanted to see be out of these sinister woods. With our cheap flashlights barely lighting up but a few yards in front of us, we finally broke out the edge of the timber and onto the feeder and laid the boar next to the other three pigs. We both breathed a sigh of relief, having made it out of the woods. However, as we stood there pondering the impossibility of the arrow resting perfectly on the back of the boar, we started hearing rustling in the trees. It says, after a few seconds, we began to hear low growls coming from the darkness. Other boars wanting a free meal at the feeder, and we were now effectively guarding. The growls grew louder by the second, getting to the point where we began shouting at the pigs to stay back as we quickly loaded the dead pigs onto the back of the four-wheeler we borrowed from the owner. Still louder, the growls grew as we tried to shine our lights at the intruders, but nothing to be seen. We started the engines and escaped back up the trail, back to safety, back to the creepy cabin. As we get back to the cabin, both of us couldn't help but try to break the tension of fear with some laughter and jokes. We skinned the pigs with the light of the cabin with the generator on and continued to discuss the situation. As we got ready for bed in the cabin, both of us dreaded shutting off the generator, which was providing us what little sanity we had left. We came to the conclusion that what happened with the arrow was nothing natural.
Yeah.
It says something or someone had to have placed it there. Someone or something had to have been in those woods that night, watching us the whole time, surveying us. And now we had to spend the night in a pitch black cabin.
I would have left.
It's like creepy. Somebody was on the property watching the whole thing and found
out. What
if
it's the owner just messing with them?
It could be.
That's what I would like try to get myself to.
That kind of
to.
Stuff creeps me out the most. It's
absolutely.
Like, it's
the unexplained.
Yeah, the unexplained, the unseen, just like some random thing that like that that you can't explain. Like you know, you go up to this animal and you're just like, what? That one's creepy. That one creeps
That's
me
extremely
out.
Creepy.
That one creeps me out.
The only I would try to get myself to believe in my mind that that was the owner like messing yeah, with us or something.
Right.
Or like the if there was a ranch hand or anything like that.
That one's creepy. Anyway, thanks for sending that one in. That one thoroughly creeped me out. And thanks for all the details. Even though it was a long read, I thought it was
the details were fantastic. Yeah, I actually really liked the writing style.
Yeah,
it makes
good.
Me.
Yeah, the guy put a lot of time and effort into it.
And it made me feel it like,
yeah.
big time.
I know. We shouldn't have done this in this.
I have follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Like, did they leave the next day?
I don't know.
Like, did they ask the ranch owner if anyone was there?
Yeah, he says, to this day, we still have no explanation other than maybe a boogeyman or a Bigfoot did me a solid and retrieved my arrow. We haven't been back to that area since, and the property owner has since sold it.
Wow.
Anyway, that was a good one. What do you got for number three?
Number three.
Let me see what this one is. Oh, yeah, this is a good one.
I love that you just, yeah. you just peer yeah, over at yeah. me and laugh.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Cole Newell.
Mm-hmm.
Newell or Newell? All right. This September, I went on an early archery deer hunt with my brother and his stepson. We went to our usual unit in Eastern Washington. I said I would shoot the very first legal buck we saw. We pulled into the parking lot around 4:30 a.m. And as we turned into the campground, there is a spike whitetail with two does. It's open for any whitetail. My brother says, at first light, you better shoot that. I said, first legal buck, so I was
true?
Going.
Did you say his brother or a buddy?
The brother said,
oh, yeah,
you
that's
better
a brother,
shoot that.
Man.
Oh, yeah,
you
for
should
sure.
shoot that.
So my brother says, I got to stop chewing in between these because I can't talk when I'm
nervous.
Knocks. Yeah.
You got to put one in between.
My brother says, at first light, you better shoot it. I said, first legal buck, so I was going to do it. Wasn't happy about it, but first light, they had moved on, so we hopped in the truck and drove around our other usual spot in the unit. Saw multiple decent bucks throughout the day and made three unsuccessful stalks. As we were heading back to camp, my brother said, there's still plenty of time. That spike is going to come back out in the same spot. Get ready. As we turned the corner for camp, there he is with his two does. I hopped out of the truck, ranged him, 58 yards, but a horrible angle. And I'm not going to thread the needle for a spike.
Valid. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, valid. So I figured, heck, it's a spike. I can probably walk right at it. So I did, trying to get a broadside shot. But him and the does jumped and went into the brush. I followed, figuring there's going to be a wrap around and come back out at the far side of the opening. Mind you, as I'm walking through the brush, I'm not trying to be quiet. I'm hoping to blow the deer out and not see him and not see him for the rest of the trip. Honest bike, yeah, don't blame you. As I wrap around the last three trees before the opening, I hear what sounds exactly like an arrow hitting a deer. I look up and see the does running off and the third deer on the ground rolling around, but it looks different. It's almost a perfect ball of fur rolling around, nothing like a deer would do after being shot. I walk closer, confused. 10 yards in front of me, there's a perfect ball of fur rolling around in the strangest way. There's no legs, and it's completely silent. I start questioning what I am watching. I think about shooting it, but what if someone else shot that spike? I think, am I watching a cougar attacking the deer? But it's silent. I see no legs, no tail, just brown and white fur rolling around. No noise. I say out loud, "Hello, is anyone here?" Seeing if there's another hunter. No reply. I walk closer to the rolling ball of fur. Then I decided to stop. Because what if it is a cat and I get attacked and think about shooting it again? I don't know what it is. I can't shoot it. Then I think, am I watching something crazy like a skinwalker?
Ooh.
Skinwalker Ranch.
I mean, that's unusual. That's where your mind goes to.
I know, right?
You see something you can't explain and your first thought is like, am I seeing it? Is that a skinwalker?
Yeah. Yeah. So he was already there.
He was in it. Yeah. He was already there before you. Yeah.
I watch it roll into the brush like a ball. Perfect circle of fur. So no weird. Noise. Dead silent. I say, fuck this. I walk back to the truck. That's what I would have said there, Cole. My brother asked what happened and I explained. He grabs his rifle we brought in case we saw a bear and a flashlight and goes in after. Sees nothing. And went back the next morning to investigate. Not a speck of blood, no fur, no drag marks, no sign of anything happening. By far the most unexplainable thing I've ever witnessed. I'll be back to that spot in October for the opening weekend of a rifle, as I have a multi-season tag. Maybe I'll see it again. ...
What would it be? That's the thing about that one. You're just like, what could that be?
No noise?
Yeah, no noise, no nothing, just a ball.
And the thing is, too, is like,
what would a ball of fur be rolling around?
And he saw it? You know what I mean? He knows he saw it, but nobody else did. So sure. Now he thinks he's the crazy one, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure that's when you go back in your head and you're like, what could... Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I've learned very quickly through this?
What's that?
You can read a lot better than me.
Well, I have read these before, so that usually helps, right? When you get a chance to read them a little bit. But unexplained rolling balls of fur in the woods.
I don't even know.
I would love to hear. Is that like a, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to do, I might have to do a fact check on this one and see if there's like any other stories out there of unexplained rolling.
No
like,
legs and no noise.
Yeah. Weird balls of fur rolling around in the woods.
Weird. But if it was no legs and if it's rolling around and there's no noise, that's like the first really odd thing. Cause not saying legs.
Sure,
you can. That could just be a weird.
Yeah, somebody shot something. It's rolling down a hill or something. I mean,
no noise.
Yeah, no drag marks, no nothing, no blood, no sign. It's just strange. Just like one of those ones where it's like, I don't know what it was. He obviously doesn't either, but it's very weird.
Well, he's going back in October for opening weekend, and
maybe he'll get a trophy rolling ball of fur. If you do, let us know.
He should. Yeah, he should keep us. Cole's got to keep us.
Yeah, let us know, Cole.
In touch on that one.
Yeah, this one's from Jake Dine. Jake from Colorado here. I was back in Michigan, which is where I grew up, hunting whitetail in the big woods up north. The area was in the middle of nowhere in rural. I like that one. He stretched that one out. Northern Michigan. This particular evening, I decided to split off from my buddies and hunt alone in a spot we had scouted that summer. It was a 3-mile hike into the woods from a parking spot at the end of a dead-end road. Remote ground for an Eastern hunter. It took me a couple of hours to carefully work my way back through the thick timber to my pinch point I had picked out between a couple of ridges. I was saddle hunting, so I worked my way up about 25 feet into an old red oak tree for an evening sit. I got settled in on my platform and was sat silently waiting for prime time to start and the monster buck I had been picturing my head to show up. About 2 hours into the sit, the light starting to get low and golden. I was startled by the muzzle blast of a rifle round popping off within 100 yards of my tree. It scared the living shit out of me.
I'm sure.
Whoever it was proceeded to mag dump what I presumed to be an AR in my direction. 30 rounds, rapid fire, close enough to hurt my ears. There were no trails back to where I was, no cell phone service. My vehicle was obviously parked at the only realistic access point to this area. The only way to get into the proximity of my tree was to watch me and follow me. I'm not counting on coincidence. I was shaking so bad I had trouble lowering my gear out of the tree and rappelling down. I took a huge panicked loop back to my vehicle and abandoned the evening hunt in fear that whoever this was wanted to scare or harm me. I watched my car from afar for an hour before I dared to approach it, and I got the fuck out of there, he says. My best guess is that I stumbled upon a spot that somebody really didn't want me to hunt. Well, buddy, it worked. I took that pin off the goddamn map forever, he says.
Yeah, that... that the unknown of that, of like...
Somebody following you?
Yeah, and just the unknown of like, does that guy not want you hunting there? Or is that guy like insane. Literally just an insane dude?
Some and was insane gonna, person.
Anybody who crossed his path.
Yeah, you know? That was a good one. I don't know. Those big, like a lot of these stories, like the last one talking about these big thick pine stands. And then like you think about big woods in Michigan and some of that country. It is weird as I think about them and as I read these, like the picture it paints in my mind is more terrifying than anything I hunt.
Yeah.
Like way scarier.
Yeah, you can't see the forest through the trees. Like you can only see so far in front of you.
That's scary to me. I like some open space.
I have a similar story, although not creepy. Yeah, also in Colorado, where we were hunting sheep and Clay Hill had the sheep tag. And it's in kind of a odd, there's a lot of like these little ranches and a lot of the locals in this valley don't like the sheep hunters because the sheep are in their yards and they kind of get to know these sheep.
They're their buddies.
Yeah, you know, like it's a known thing. It's a known thing. You don't ask them, hey, can we go hunt them there or whatever. We made a loop on these rams, and a lady came out in her side-by-side and started lighting off rounds to scare, because the sheep were walking
to
towards
scare
us.
The sheep?
Yeah, it was an archery tag.
Sheesh.
And she saw us kind of run the public-private line around her property and got up on top of the sheep, and they were coming off of her private going up towards us.
Gotcha.
So we were going to cut them off ambush style, and they were coming right at us. And we saw her get in her side-by-side, and she rolled down and then started lighting off.
So she's sending rounds to bring them back onto her property?
Yeah, she was sending rounds in between the sheep and us, and the sheep turned around and went back to her.
This is crazy.
At least I saw it, though.
And see,
I
at least knew you saw it, right? You knew what was going on.
And I knew that she was just trying to...
I mean, the
to,
picture that this guy paints being that 3 miles off into
yeah,
like
that,
big,
I don't like
dark
that.
Woods.
Like, mine was nerve-wracking enough just because there's a gun being pointed in our general direction.
Yeah, and fired.
And she obviously doesn't like hunters.
Sure.
So...
Yeah.
But then to not know...
I know.
And to be 3 miles away...
Yeah.
Adds a lot to it.
Dude, the one detail in that one that scared me the most is where he says he makes this huge loop back to his vehicle.
And watches then, it.
Yeah, sits there and watches his vehicle.
I would too, though.
I would too, but do you know, like that hour, you're just like sitting there watching
Pins
your vehicle not knowing? That's terrifying.
What if you did see somebody like break into it? And
bro, that's truly terrifying. That's scary.
I don't like that.
You got number five, Casey Prim.
Casey Prim.
Oh, that's a good one. You'll like this one.
Like it in a good way or a bad way? I love how you know.
That's my favorite part of this episode every year is that I get to read them all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh yeah, I know what one.
I have the weak mind.
I'll make Lorenzo read this one.
You and Brady are the strong minds when it comes to this stuff. I'm the guy that's hiking through the woods with all this in the back of my head. It hasn't stopped me from going anywhere, just to be clear.
Yeah. So you're.
But. When I got that headlamp on and it's dark and I'm by myself, this is the kind of stuff I think about.
I noticed the other day when I was hiking in my headlamp, I'm always fine hiking in the dark as long as I just keep that headlamp pointed forward.
Straight. Yeah.
It's when I start wandering around and like looking either left or right, side to side, that's when those thoughts creep into your head. As long as you keep that down the trail, moving forward, you're good to go.
I can't do that.
I'm looking around.
I'm behind me, in front of me.
I'm in oblivion when I'm hiking. I'm just like, head down, I'm going.
I try to be.
Yeah.
All right, Casey Prim. Hello, my name is Casey. This is mine and my brother-in-law's story. Don't like the start of it already. It's like this is one of those TV shows you watch where it's like, this is my story.
True crime.
My brother-in-law and I got drawn for late season November elk tag in Arizona in 2023. On the third day, we got back to camp and started up dinner. After an hour or so, we sat by the fire. We heard the most curdling noise. It was like a woman being killed viciously. Holy shit. Okay. So they're sitting around the fire just hearing
blood-curdling screams. Yeah, all of a sudden you hear this just like absolute scream. He goes into more detail.
And they're like a blood-curdling noise. It was like a woman being killed viciously.
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to use viciously? Like a mature woman screaming at the top of her lungs for at least a minute straight. And when I say a minute straight, it may have been more. The noise came from down the road. If I had to guess, maybe 300 yards. Where the road turned right, and if you kept straight, it was an old dried up creek. Me and my brother-in-law decided to go check it out. Okay. What are we doing now?
You know what do you do though? I mean, if you were out in that environment and you heard a woman scream for a solid minute, like a blood curdling
scream. This one's in me right now.
You gotta go check that out. Do you though? Yeah, you got to.
This is like in the horror films.
You gotta go try to help.
Oh, there's a abandoned cabin. Let's run to it. You know what I mean?
You have to go help.
I don't watch scary movies for a reason. So I don't think about this stuff when I'm back there.
All right.
Me and my brother-in-law decided to go check it out. As soon as we touched the road, it stopped. We kept walking toward where we heard the noise. After 50 yards or so, it started again, but stopped within 15 seconds or so. The second one, for whatever reason, just made me turn around and leave it alone, whatever it was. Yeah, that's what I would do. So we turned back and go to camp. Once at camp, we hear it again, what seemed almost out of hearing range. Never did hear anything else the rest of the hunt. We went down the road and looked on both sides to see if we saw anything that could explain the scream. The part where I say the scream didn't stop for over a minute is important. I've never heard an elk bugle that sounded like that or that lasted that long. Also, elk aren't bugling in November. Mountain lion will scream, but once again, not as long as we heard it. And we never saw a scuffle area, the quote scuffle area, of where a possible animal attacking another animal would have happened. Even then, the length is what gets me. After a couple of months, I look into this screaming, and I'm not the only one that has heard this. It's a common thing, I guess, for people to hear on the Mogollon, isn't that how you say that?
Mogollon.
Mm-hmm. Mogollon Rim. People believe it's Bigfoot, a.k.a. the Mogollon Monster. I'm not sure what it is we heard, but to this day, it will send chills through me thinking about it.
The Mogollon Monster.
Is this the next one?
Yeah.
Just not.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, which elk will bugle in November.
Yeah, but
it sounds like
they know what an elk sounds like.
Yeah,
if it's a woman.
For a minute?
The one in there, he says a mature woman screaming for over a minute.
Okay, so at the top, it was like a woman being killed viciously.
Yeah,
that's not an elk bugle.
That one's terrible.
Like a mature woman screaming at the top of her lungs for at least a minute straight.
Not good.
No scuffle area.
Not good.
Was there any tire tracks? Was there any?
That's the other thing about some of these. I've been thinking, like, would you go investigate and, like, looking for tire tracks and looking, like, where?
Because what if it happened inside of a vehicle and, like, that's what, there's no scuffle.
Yeah, you know right. What I mean? Yeah, they drove off or something.
It just all happened in a vehicle and they drove off. But then they say.
I like where he says they went back to camp. I don't know if I'd go back to camp. I might get in my truck and head out.
And, like, drive?
Yeah. I might spend the night somewhere else, I think.
And I would definitely not go towards it. I don't know what I would do in that scenario.
I think if I was with a buddy, I probably would. But alone, I might be
with
a little...
With a gun I might and be with able, a buddy?
Yeah. Maybe if I had a weapon, like a gun, I might go check it out, but...
What if you had a bow?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, I want to say yes, but I don't know if I would.
I know for a fact I wouldn't say yes unless you talked me into it.
I don't think I would be behind you going, hey, we should go check that out. That would be a little too terrifying.
I'm
going
to look into this. The
Mogollon Monster.
Yeah, the Mogollon Monster.
Maybe we'll do a fact check next week and we'll hit a couple of these rolling balls of fur and if there's a Mogollon Monster.
Huh.
This one's by a guy named Ranger Wall, which is a good name, huh?
It's a fantastic name. Sounds like you should be a country artist or something.
Ranger Wall. This guy also paints a good picture of the environment. This one creeps me. Like, before I even got to the creepy part of this, I was like, the environment of this, I can see it, like the way he describes it. I'm like, I would be creeped out. So he says, for generations, my family has deer hunted with dogs deep in the Louisiana swamps.
Ooh.
I've seen some crazy stuff down there, but only one that I can't explain. I had to be about 12 because I was old enough that they trusted me with a solo stand location. That's crazy too. Like, I just took my 12-year-old. I cannot imagine, like, just
trusting him solo.
Just saying, hey, we're going to put you in this stand. We'll see later, right? I'll be back this evening. I don't know that he would stay put.
Different people down there. Harder people down there, for sure.
It says 45-minute boat ride in, and I was dropped off on the banks of the big bayou. So they just cruise down on a boat, ditch your 12-year-old, and say, go for it. We'll see you, which is, it's awesome. But I don't know if I would be brave enough.
That's why they're more manly than us. That's why SEC football is so much better.
That's probably it. He says, cutting off the western end of the hunt, well, my dad was a floating stander in an airboat a few hundred yards up the bayou at the next crossing. Probably about 10 to 15 family members were out on that hunt that morning. About an hour after the dogs were turned loose, I heard it. And I wished I'm going to have this guy call in and just like give the actual like sound effect. But the way he types it out, it's W-W-H-H-H-U-M-M. So it's like a whom. That's the way I envision it. So it was an electronic sound hum that I can only describe as like the beat drop on a dubstep or a similar EDM type of music, which wasn't even invented yet. It caught my attention, but it sounded like it was a solid half mile away behind the cover of treetops, so it didn't scare me yet.
Okay.
He says, typically on hunts like this, you try to keep radio chatter to a minimum, so I didn't comment on it to my family. About 5 minutes later, I hear it again, but closer this time. Now I'm freaking out. I definitely didn't imagine this, and I know nothing in the swamp makes this noise. 2 to 3 minutes go by, and I hear it again. Closer this time. It sounds like I should be able to see it right over the cypress trees, and I can feel the sound when it happens. Finally, I can't help it, and I ask on the radio if anyone else is hearing this. Be quiet. We're trying to hear the dogs. I don't hear anything. So I just clutch my rifle, and I stay at my set. Again, whom. It's only been a minute, and it's louder. It's clear, blue-billed skies, and I can't see anything making this sound, but it's closer, and it sounds higher up. Again, 30 seconds, 15, closer and closer, higher and higher. I should be able to see this thing, but I can't. I've been looking in the same direction for over an hour. I would have seen something if it was there. And then he goes on to say, it just keeps going. He says, there are no gaps in between it now, in between the sounds. It's coming directly to me, and I still can't see it. It's deafening at this point. I hear it flying straight to me until it's directly overhead, and then it goes silent. This is the part that's really creepy out that gives me like makes okay. the hairs on my arms stand up. He says, now there are always noises in the swamp between the bugs, the fish, the nutria, birds, and just everything that lives there. Silence is a relative term, but as soon as the sound stops in the swamp, it goes completely silent. I can only hear my heartbeat and the mud squishing under my nervous toes. After about 15 seconds, the quietest I've ever heard it in the swamps, it's like you flipped a switch and all the sounds came back on and went back to normal. And then he says, guys, you have to have heard this flying noise. Dad, the closest person to where I'm standing, comes over the radio. Embarrassed, I'm still clogging up the radio and tells me to be quiet and watch for deer. He says, I've been in the woods all across this country for 25 years, but never before or since have I experienced anything like that day. What is that? Is that like an alien? Is that a drone?
I mean, that
you can't see?
I don't know, but nobody else heard it.
I wasn't creeped out by this story at all until I got to the point where he said that the whole swamp went silent.
Dead silent?
Yeah.
That is... Dead silence is creepy.
Yeah, and you can hear the, like, as he you know, he lays out in written word here, like, that environment of a swamp, cypress trees, yes. The, you know, the sounds. And, like, to me, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm all in on this. And then the thought of that going completely silent on the back end of this unexplainable, like, noise that's humming right over you is creepy.
And then the dad just being
yeah, a dad. Shut up.
Yeah.
We're hunting deer.
Like, that would be me if my son was on the radio.
Yeah, that would be me too. Nope, don't hear it.
Shut up, look
seen
for deer.
Any, seen any deer? Yeah, that would be me too.
Huh.
All right, you got number seven.
He said it was in the air though, right?
Said it was in the air. Yeah, and I'm sensitive to that kind of thing. Flying objects above me that appear randomly creep me out.
Yeah.
Or you don't see anything and you just hear it, but you can feel the other part. He said he could feel it.
Yeah, that's a...
I don't like that.
And in the swamp, too. Just anything in the swamp is creepy.
Yeah, and being 12.
Yeah.
He's still not right, you can tell.
I mean, I wouldn't be either. Me either. I'd be mad at my dad still, too. You know, I'd still give him shit for that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. What's this, number six?
Seven. What number are you on?
This is number six now, right?
Is this Colton Johnston?
Yeah.
Yep, that's it.
All right. My name is Colton Johnston. I am from Montana, and this story takes place about 8 years ago when I was in college in Dillon, Montana. By the way, I love Dillon, Montana. It's one of my favorite places. Mm-hmm. My roommate and I were driving around checking out a new area we wanted to hunt while also glassing for elk to chase. See, I told you you're a better reader than me. It was probably the very beginning of rifle season here, if I can remember. We were driving lots of different roads that led back into deep timber, hoping that one of them would come out and do a big glassing knob. This particular road was a bit nasty and seemed promising for us getting up onto a high knob. Watching the map, we were nearing the end of the road, and what we saw when we rounded the last corner will forever be imprinted in my mind. Okay. I'm going to reread that. Watching the map, we were nearing the end of the road, and what we saw when we rounded the last corner will forever be imprinted in my mind. That's a creepy sentence right there. From what I can recall, there were a few old campers, some blue tarps strung between them, and older pickups. We could easily tell it was a hunting camp by some meat quarters hanging from a nearby tree. But the spooky thing was, what I'm assuming was a skinned bear with all of the meat still attached on the side of the road near the camp. What's that say?
Yeah.
But the spooky thing is, I'm assuming was a skinned bear all the meat still attached on the side of the road near the campers. It was propped up in the sitting position with some kind of freaky Halloween creature-like mask. Something devilish looking. Taped to where the head would go. It reminded me of a gargoyle, but the skinned out bear version. I don't like that. We didn't spend a lot of time looking after we saw that. My buddy whipped his truck around and we got the hell out of there. Yeah, that would be a good.
So they come around a road.
Yeah.
And there's a skinned bear.
And a skinned bear.
Looks like a dude.
It looks like a human.
Yeah.
Like a skinned bear 100% looks
propped
like a human.
Propped up with a Halloween mask.
In a sitting position.
Yeah.
So not just propped up, like sitting.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's Halloween mask.
I'm just some dudes thinking they were really funny, but that's really effed
that's
up.
Not, that's not funny.
Effed up and super creepy. Yeah,
I love Dillon, Montana. That's one of my favorite places. One of my favorite places to waterfowl hunt.
I've never been.
But I'll just stay down on the valley.
Skinned out bear sitting there with a Halloween mask on his head. It's pretty creepy.
Do you think that was somebody like
a
family tradition prank?
I don't know if it was a family tradition, but I hope not. But I'm thinking that was probably just a group of dudes that they probably killed a bear and thought it'd be funny. Like, oh, we'll just prop this bear up here on the side of the road.
Keep everyone out of our camp.
Yeah, we'll put a mask on and think we're hilarious. But that is pretty terrifying. Enough so that the guy said he'll never forget it. So,
and 8 years ago.
Congratulations on somebody that absolutely creeped everybody else out.
Yeah, if your goal is to keep
people... It's not a good look for hunters, though. I will say that, so don't do that.
But if your goal is to keep people out of your camp...
Yeah, that would probably work. Yep. This one's by Chase Wright. It says, it was late September 2023. I had recently returned from the Montana wilderness on a successful 10-day elk hunt. Tired as I was, I rounded up my gear for yet another trip to the mountains to chase the magnificent Wapiti. That's right, Brady. This time, I would be joining my oldest brother on a limited draw cow elk hunt. I loaded my truck and met Sam at the house on a beautiful September afternoon. We weighed down his little Tacoma and headed north. After an otherwise uneventful drive through a remote no-name state, he already said Montana, didn't he? Or maybe it was a different one. We arrived at the turnoff. What the heck was that? As I squinted through the windshield. My eyes see a giant skull protruding from a bright red cloak. In its arms lies a huge stuffed animal monkey with a dagger through its chest. Fake blood spills all around with some satanic symbols around its neck on a sash. I don't know, mumbles Sam. All I can think of is to pray to God that we have no interaction or involvement with the person whose yard this creature resides in. We drive 5 miles up a dirt road to camp, nestled neatly in the wilds of the No Name Mountains. Excitedly, we scampered around, setting up camp like we had done countless times before. Once the work was done, we finally looked up and took to the stars and the moonlight. We noticed the wind, we noticed the smells, we noticed the anticipation of what morning light could bring. Let's see if there are any other hunting camps on the loop, said Sam. Might make sure Mike and Jeremiah have a place to pull in when they get here in a few hours. We started walking around the campground, wondering if we'd see the presence of any other man. And what otherwise was a perfect night of natural sounds and sights. Nice. Looks like we have the place to ourselves, I thought. We started making our way back to camp. What happened next, I will never forget, but never can quite explain. Sam and I both abruptly stop in our tracks without sharing a word. A noise erupts from within a heavy canopy of the steep mountainside above us, an incredibly loud, whooping, hollering, screaming noise. Unlike anything I have ever heard, I stare blankly through the shimmering moonlight pines. My brain immediately knows I have no explanation for this horrific sound. We both stand dead still, listening, frozen in fear, frozen in wonder. It's far removed from any noise of the regular creatures of the mountains. The noise subsides, and we just start walking back to camp. No one said a word. I finally take a break in the silence. I have no idea what that was, but that was freaky. Think there's a lady up there? Sam grunts, and he keeps walking, too disturbed to acknowledge what happened. We climb into our tent for bed. I wonder if it's related to that Satanist down by the highway. Maybe there's a cult up here, I say, trying to get my older brother to talk about what we just heard. I don't know, he says as he rolls over, suggesting I forget about it. He never brought it up ever again. We wake up to the alarm, and we head off to chase elk.
I don't like that either.
Have you ever been so scared that you're, like, unable to speak or move? I've only ever been that way maybe once that I can remember. But
not that I can remember.
It's the worst feeling ever. It's an awful feeling when you're, like, so scared and you're so... You're just like completely sucked in that you have no movement. Like you can't move. You can't speak. Like your tongue is completely lost its ability. That's a terrible feeling.
Well, then, I mean, that alone would be freaky. It's like the Mogollon
monster
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you just hear this noise that you can't explain. But the addition of the Satanist thing, that is one thing that like creeps me out is. People are weird and nuts. Like,
yeah, there's some crazy people.
Crazy people. And like, if they're out there doing some crazy ritual stuff and you cross paths like that.
Do you remember last year? It's not going to be good. Do you remember last year, the one that we read about the guys that got permission to haunt the Whitetail property and they came into the clearing and there was a pig hanging from a noose?
Yes.
With all the symbols and stuff all over the ground.
Yes.
That one's terrifying. That stuff scares the shit out of me.
If you caught that in the moment, that's not going to be good.
No. Or even after the fact, not good.
Not good.
You got Rylan Pratt up next.
I have Josh Howe.
Oh, you do? Okay, hit it.
Josh Howe, number 9.
Gotcha.
This happened at our family's deer camp about 15 years ago when I was around 17 years old. It was a November rifle hunt for whitetail. I was taking my grandmother out for the afternoon hunt on a big piece of public land in a national forest. That's actually really cool. You're taking your grandma.
Yeah.
This particular spot has an old Native American burial ground on it with these rudimentary headstones and markers. It gives the whole area an eerie historical atmosphere. Man, I got a story for Indian stuff too, by the way.
Already creepy.
Adding to the significance, my uncle had actually passed away in this area while hunting. He had suffered a heart attack there.
While hunting?
Yep.
That's how I want to go.
I mean, you could pick.
I wanted to go quick like that.
While hunting.
That'd be great. That'd be perfect.
Yeah. He says, adding to the significance, my uncle had actually passed away in the same area while hunting.
Wow.
So yeah, it happened. He'd suffered a heart attack there. So this piece of land had a lot of family history and emotional weight for us. On this particular afternoon, my grandmother, who was about 75 at the time, was walking in front of me as we headed down the trail to our hunting spot. As we were making our way in, we crossed paths with another hunter who looked to be in his late 20s or early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Let me flip this page.
You're good.
He was on his way out as we were heading in. And we exchanged a few words, just the usual, any luck, kind of chat. He said he hadn't seen anything, and we had went our separate ways. But after we walked maybe another 10 or 15 paces past him, he turned around and started following us. Oh, I don't like that. He stayed about the same distance behind us, 15 paces or so, the whole half mile as we continued down the trail.
Dude, at what point do you turn around and like...
I don't know.
Pretty quick, especially if I'm with my grandma. Even if I'm not, I'm like back in that guy's face. Like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up?
What are we doing here?
Well, he never said another word. Didn't try to talk to us again. He just kept that distance behind us the entire way. Eventually, we decided to randomly pull off the trail at a spot we didn't usually hunt just to let him pass. He walked on by without a word and continued down the trail. And that was the last we saw of him.
So did he really exist?
It's a great question.
Or is he like an apparition of some sort?
I wonder, yeah. Josh, how, like, if you did turn around, I mean, a half mile.
Yeah, I want to hear more about this. I want to know if you actually talked to the, like, if you turned around and like tried to approach him and said, hey, what are you doing? Or if you actually, like, did this person actually exist?
And they pulled off and he just kept walking.
Yeah, walked past him.
But did not say anything else.
No, and it's
else.
Weird, too, because they said he was coming this way, right? And yeah, they talked to him. He said he talked to him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
that's
asked
right.
if he had so, any
yeah,
luck.
Yeah, right. And then he turned around and followed him the whole way.
He said he hadn't seen anything.
Oh, wow.
And we went our separate ways.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm telling you, people are more scary than anything, man. People are, there's
well, people are just weird.
Creeps.
Like this one, like that's not creepy.
I think it is.
It obviously
creepy.
Is. That's the wrong word. Mm-hmm. But, like people are just weird. Like that's
oh, yeah.
the point I'm trying to make.
For
like
sure.
you just
that's what the,
you come across somebody out in the woods. You know what I mean? Like people are
that's what's more terrifying.
Really weird.
Yeah, the more I read all of these, like the scariest ones are just like mankind, humans, other humans.
The weird version of humans. Yeah.
This one's from Rylan Pratt. It says, hey team, I thought I would share my chilling story with you. I was archery elk hunting this year a few weeks ago in the mountains, Colorado, so this is not that long ago. It was our first day out, so we went about 3.5 miles hiking along the top of the ridge. We chased a bull down into some deep timber, did some calling sets, but nothing panned out. Does it feel colder in here?
No.
When we first got started, I was like roasting. I was so hot. I was actually going to say to you, like, you need to take your hoodie off.
And you're cold now?
I'm cold. Like the temperature's dropped like 15 degrees in here. Like I'm legit a little bit chilly right now. I kept thinking, really? You're hot? Okay.
Yeah.
It was weird. Anyway. We did some calling sets, but nothing panned out. So we started our trek back to camp as we began getting dark. As we were slowly picking our way through the deadfall in the dark up to the top of the ridge, I started hearing something off in the distance. It started as a muffled sound that my dad and I couldn't make out, but we kept hiking. As we got closer to the top, the noise we heard both had us more puzzled. As we sounded like someone yelling, as I strained to listen, the noise would repeat itself every few minutes. I finally thought I heard it more clearly, thinking I had heard, help me, somebody help me.
Oh.
I stopped dead in my tracks and I looked at my dad to see if he had just heard what I'd heard, but he was hiking behind me. I asked him if he heard what I did, but he didn't. More concerned, I tried to quietly keep creeping, but the sound was so distant. I couldn't be sure of myself. I thought I heard it again the second time, and I said to my dad, do you hear somebody screaming for help? He had mentioned it sounded like someone yelling after a dog, but I wasn't convinced. We finally reached an opening in the timber at the top of the ridge, and I thought I'd finally be able to get a good listen this time, but I never heard anything again. I sat and listened for 10 minutes and didn't hear anything after that, even though I had heard very distinct yelling. It was in the opposite direction of the truck, and we decided to start heading back. It had me chilled the whole time, thinking that somebody was out in dire trouble and maybe this was their last attempt at getting saved, or maybe I was hearing things. It was hard to fall asleep that night.
Yeah.
Help me, somebody help me.
Well, like he said, the chilling, like...
That one's terrifying,
too. You think you hear it? Mm-hmm. And maybe it is somebody on their last breath, like just asking for their last shot?
Yeah.
And then you, in your mind, you're like, but I didn't go check it out?
Yeah, that one's scary. Yeah, like the what ifs would haunt you.
Yeah.
That would be really haunting, right? It would stay with you forever.
Oh, that one, yeah.
You'd be like, what was that, you know?
That would for sure stay with me.
Yeah. What do you have next? Who do you have next?
Jeff LaGrua.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Sorry if I'm butchering that, Jeff. My name is Jeff. I grew up hunting. My name is Jeff. I grew up hunting with my family in Western Colorado. When I was 20, hunting alone, I had an archery, elk, and deer tag for the unit Redacted in Colorado. Sounds just like Brady.
Mm-hmm.
It was the season opener, which back then was the last weekend of August. They need to go back to that, by the way. I can't stand the September 2nd or whatever
it is. Yeah, I know. That's the worst.
So my plan was to hunt the first weekend of the season for deer while scouting for elk. I took the main trail system for about 1.5 miles before starting to trek into some steeper aspen groves looking for a decent buck in velvet. I came up this rise toward a very small bench with a small open pocket in the Quakies and was busted by a 150-160-inch muley in full velvet up 45 yards. At this moment, I realized my hunt for this day was mostly over, but I tried to get back on the track of the buck but could never turn him back up. This was at roughly 9 a.m., so I gained roughly 800 feet of elevation to get on the ridge to relocate him to no avail. Stayed up there, ate lunch, and once I was unsuccessful at finding him, I decided to head back towards the truck around 1. I started moving down the ridge toward the main trail. About halfway down, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Okay.
Yes.
About halfway down, the hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I froze in my tracks. I stood there looking to my left and right, saw nothing that was of concern. About 5 minutes, I calmed my nerves and continued walking towards the main trail. And about 75 yards later, the hair on the back of my neck stood up again, and I was like, something is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I didn't have any bear spray or a sidearm at the time. So I stopped yet again, and this time I looked left and right, still nothing. So I thought to myself, something is not right. Why does the hair on my neck keep sticking up, sticking up on end? So I studied the areas, still saw nothing. But this time it wasn't as easy to calm my nerves and could not get the hair from sticking up on end. So I decided to turn around slowly. And what I saw was not expected and very unnerving. Okay, great. This is why I look behind me. It's like this is the kind of shit I think about.
Out of mind, Lorenzo.
Yeah. Standing 35 yards behind me, about a 75 to 80 pound mountain lion stalking me. I knocked an arrow and said to myself, if it comes, I'm shooting. Lucky for me, this cat seemed young and curious. We had a stare down for what seemed like an eternity, but was probably maybe 5 minutes, and all I could think to myself was, how do I get out of this sticky situation? And I just watched the cat's demeanor. I started looking around me, and at my feet was a golf ball-sized rock, so I slowly bent down, keeping my eyes on the cat until I had the rock in hand and was standing upright again. Gained the courage to throw a rock towards the cat, and the cat bounced away, and I was unscathed. I made it from that point to the trailhead in my truck, which was a little over 2.5 miles in about 20 minutes. Yeah, I would have been scooting, too.
Do lions in the woods scare you?
Yeah, that's,
really?
That is one of my...
Really?
Yeah, it's one of my things.
Yeah, we had a few of those.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's one of my...
See, that one doesn't bug me. Like, real, I guess, is like, I don't know, real people would be scary to me, but like animals, grizzlies maybe, but not, lions, I never even think about.
They're just so sneaky too. Like,
for sure.
Reading this guy's story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly how I would see it go. You know, five minutes, he was hiking. All of a sudden, the hair on the back of his neck stands up.
That's what's interesting.
Can't see, hear anything.
Yeah, as I was reading that one, what is that? What is that? Sixth sense?
Yeah,
how do you know that? Like, how does he feel that? How do you know that?
I think it's the same thing when you hear biologists talk about how animal can feel pressure.
Sure.
Like if you have that
some
want
energy
against
field.
Them, they can feel that. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's the whole thing where we always talk about deer absolutely know when they're being hunted and not.
It's like the guy that was saying he was at the edge of the baby stroller out in the woods and he found it. He's going through it and all of a sudden he just knows that he's being watched.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what that is.
But sixth sense.
Some sort of energy.
Piercing the veil on that fifth dimension, fourth dimension.
Yeah, that one's creepy. This one's from Cody Silver. He says, I was actually filming a Montana elk hunt a few weeks ago in September, and we got into a campground where we were going to post up and set up our tents. We were talking with a hunter who is a Montana native, and he was telling us the night before he had heard the strangest sound that he'd ever heard before. He described it as someone saying, help.
Another one of these?
Yeah, or something like that, and said it three times. The crazy part is that it was near a campsite. The next night, about 2 a.m., I woke up to that exact same sound that the hunter described. It was absolutely eerie. I couldn't make out what kind of animal it could have been. I'm used to sitting in stands in the woods of the Carolinas and would have been an eerie feeling that something was there, but this was something that gave me the absolute chills. Yeah, to wake up at 2 in the night and hear someone yelling for help.
Yeah.
When somebody had just told you, yeah, this happened to me the night before and I could hear somebody yelling for help.
It's like, what are the chances that that's happening again? So does somebody actually need help, or are they just trying to lure somebody from the camp?
Or
that's what would be going through my mind.
Or is it like some sort of like ghost or spirit that just is occupying the area that's taunting people?
That too.
Screaming for help.
That too.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits.
Do you? Is that different? I don't know if there's...
I don't know. I believe in a dimension past us that we don't exist in, but can exist within us.
Yeah.
Like a fourth and fifth dimension.
I listened to a podcast on the way down here about some ghost hunting stuff. And I was like, cause I'm not a big believer, but I'm also not like shutting the door on it completely, you know?
Yeah. Like the whole ghost thing, mm-hmm. I don't necessarily believe in, but I believe that there is more than three dimensions.
Right.
And we only exist in three of however many there are.
When I was 14, we moved to a house in Circleville. We moved from Anamoy to Circleville, and the house that we moved into was an older home that we refurbed, and it had like a big bay window. And I guess the local religious, the stake president, which is the Mormon church, but he would apparently... It was like a big enough living area, and they had this big bay window that they would have funerals there. And so he would put the casket there in the front. And I remember my mom and dad telling me that. I was about 13 or 14 when we moved there. But I remember one night I was laying in bed, and I remember my door, the door handle turning, opening, and then the door closing and the handle turning back in to click in, and nobody came in or out.
And you vividly remember
that? I remember that was one of the, actually, as I'm saying it right now, that was one of the times when I remember being so frozen in bed that like I couldn't speak and I didn't feel like I could get up because I was just so intent, just so scared.
Yeah.
Like so poignantly scared. But since then.
Yeah, I would be too.
Yeah. Since then, I've gone back and I'm like, did that really happen? Or did I talk?
That's what I'm, do you start to question yourself?
Did I talk myself into that? You know what I mean? There's some experiences that I know for sure happened, like the one I told last year about the alien thing. And like that one, I know for a fact, like I can recall details. That
well, you had other people to talk to about
it too. Sure,
yeah,
that one.
But it's like the kid in Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, right. Did that happen?
Other story of where the dad didn't hear somebody yelling for help, but the kid did.
Right.
It's like those ones, you almost question yourself to a point of like, am I crazy? Am I nuts?
Am
and that
I
also
sane?
Starts to mess with you.
I know.
Like, that's creepy too. That can my mind really do that to me?
Yeah.
And be that real?
Yeah. That one I go back to from time to time. And I'm like, did I not? But I remember the intent, like feeling of being really scared, like super scared.
I'm sure it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have you seen Interstellar? Have you seen the movie Interstellar?
That's a movie that people keep bringing up to me. They're like, you should watch this. You should watch this. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever watched it end to end.
It's the essentially the other dimensions that we don't take part in.
I might have to watch it. Be a good Halloween movie.
Anytime movie. It just makes you think, like, okay. Deeply. Makes you think.
Interstellar.
Yeah.
And put it on my watch list.
Yeah.
Do you have, what else do you have? Do you have another one?
I have Hunter Wiegand.
Okay. It's a long one.
Makes me think of Widgeon, by the way. That's Widgeon? How much into duck hunting I am right now. Yeah. It's a long one. So
let me go back and see if I remember. Oh yeah. This is this one's actually kind of fun.
Fun?
Yeah, I mean a little bit. There's some like have you seen Stranger Things?
No,
you haven't. Oh, okay. Have you seen It?
No, I will. I'm not kidding. I will not watch that.
You should watch it. There's
I don't understand the people who watch that for entertainment. I don't understand it.
There's like some fun teenage banter in this one that I got a kick out of.
I do like that part.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Growing up in rural North Michigan.
That's the other thing. Michigan.
Again. Like now we're starting.
I don't know what the hell's going on in Michigan.
Rural North Michigan, right there, already makes me think differently about what I'm about to get into. You hear a lot of stories of weird encounters in the woods. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point. This one is mine. Two of my closest friends and I were in the eighth grade. It was September and the new school year had just started. We talked about spending the weekend camping in the woods behind my one friend Logan's house. Our plan was to build our own fort. That's I would be doing that too. That was like the best part of being a kid. When the weekend finally rolled around, my other friend Michael and I showed up at Logan's house with our sleeping bags. Logan's parents insisted we take out his little brother Dylan. We refused. That makes me feel bad for my youngest son because I know that's going
to
happen.
That little shit Dylan. We had to bring him.
Ugh. We refused, but eventually caved into the idea. The rest of the afternoon, the four of us spent making our makeshift teepee and building a fire. When darkness finally began to set in, we started cooking hot dogs and drinking Mountain Dew. Exactly what Hell I would think about these kids. That's when things got really eerie. We would hear the occasional leaves and sticks breaking around and not really think anything of it. But it kept happening constantly. Mm-hmm. We would shine our lights in the direction, but we would see nothing. Dylan became more freaked out than the rest of us. After an hour or so, the sounds disappeared. We all sat around the fire talking and eating when Dylan frighteningly said, "Guys, there's a pair of eyes staring at us."
Have you had that experience?
I have.
So the worst one I've ever had was...
I had one of those with my
really?
Brother.
Really? Yeah. With eyes?
Mm.
Yeah, that's terrifying. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I had a tag in Wyoming. It's a known grizzly bear hotbed. And I was so excited to get in there that I talked my brother into backpacking halfway in at night. So we hit the trailhead at dark and started hiking.
Yeah.
And we're coming around this little bend. And Tyler, I know you're listening out there. You'll remember this very well. But we hit this set of eyes that are relatively close in the trail and just... Because immediately you're like, bear. That's got to be a bear.
Was it a bear?
No, it was deer. But everything was a bear that night. When you see eyes and you're thinking bear.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is a bear.
Me and my brother. My dad had a tag. Me and my brother were hiking into an opposite side hill so we could glass back to where he was with the gun. So we were spotters. And me and him were going up this trail, middle of the desert, close to some weird... So I'll just say mm-hmm. it. I'm not Brady. Close to Area 51.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking up this trail. And in a tree or through a tree. Because, when it's that dark, you can't quite mm-hmm. tell. But when I had my head down hiking along, I looked up. And the eyes were either in a tree or through the tree on the hillside. Because we weren't yep. clear up to the top. You know yep. what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they never moved, ever. And we were just frozen looking at it. I didn't know what it was. My first thought was lion in a tree.
Were they green and oval shaped?
Yeah. That was my first thought.
Like an alien.
Lion in a tree.
Okay.
My brother's first thought was something Area
Sinister,
51 type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, that's a lion. They go up in trees. That's what it is. And then, just keep looking at it. I'm like, maybe it's behind the tree up on the hillside. But it never... took his eyes off of us, like, the whole time.
I don't like eyes in the, yeah. No.
So we, like, peeled down and around, like, way down and around it, down to the bottom of the canyon, and then back up, like, midway. Because we were going, I mean, we don't want to let my dad down, so, like, we kept going. Mm-hmm. But it never took his eyes off us, whatever it was. I still think it was a lion in a tree.
Eyes in the night are scary.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right. So Dylan frighteningly said, guys, there's a pair of eyes staring at us. We all got up and shined our lights in the direction he was pointing. There was a pair of white eyes just blankly staring right at us. Okay. White, not good. That's definitely not deer undulate.
I'm trying to think.
They're all green or red.
Yeah, that's right. They look different, don't they? I don't know. I try not to.
Yeah. All right. We thought it was just a deer and that it would run away with the sounds we were making, but it didn't. The pair of eyes never blinked, but they would disappear for a second as if the creature was turning its head and looking around.
That's always creepy too. I hate that. Yeah. I hate when you're like, you've got a set of eyes in your headlamp and you're looking at it and then they disappear like as they turn their head.
Yeah.
And then they move, or they turn their head and move and then you pick them up again. I hate that.
We pretended to just ignore it and continue enjoying our night. That's some bold kids right there. Yeah. With one of us occasionally shining the light towards the eyes to see if it was still present. It got dark around 8 and it was 11-ish at this time and the eyes were still there. We all had our own theories on what was giving us the death stare. Dylan was the most frightened. Logan and I were on the fence.
I love how he just throws the
I know Dylan is just getting thrown under the bus. But Michael was different. He didn't get frightened as easily as the rest of us. But when I realized he was startled by it.
Mm.
But when I realized he was startled by it.
Gotcha. So he must have just was like, yeah, so like, oh, this guy doesn't get scared.
But yeah, what I'm guessing he's saying there is he realized he was startled by it.
That's also a bad feeling. When you're with a group and the toughest guy in the group is like suddenly turned tail and he's like, all right, I'm actually scared. Then
it changes the vibe.
The entire mood of the whole group is like, okay, now we are done for.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So he goes on to say, it only made the rest of me feel worse. Exactly. We began to sharpen sticks and spears and find anything that we could use as a possible weapon in case the creature got closer. And it did. ...
Ugh.
Logan looked and realized it had gotten closer. We began yelling and throwing things at it to try and scare, and nothing worked. He got on the phone with his stepdad to convince him to bring a gun out. When he finally answered the phone, he told us to grow a pair of balls. Another great dad here. I love it.
I mean, imagine you got a bunch of kids, young kids. You got Dylan. They're like, Dad, we see some eyes in the bushes. Yeah. And he's like, you guys just need to grow a pair.
Louisiana story. Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Shut
We're
up.
Looking for deer.
Yep.
Trying to hear the dogs.
Yep.
It's like, you know, dads being dads. Grow a pair of balls. We were probably 500 yards away from the house at the time. Eventually, we tried to crawl into our makeshift tent and go to sleep, but none of us could sleep. The sounds returned, sticks breaking around us. We all had the feeling that something was circling the camp. Then the second pair of eyes showed up, at this time in a different direction. The pair of eyes didn't stick around very long. They made an appearance and then quickly disappeared, all while the main pair didn't move. This is where we drew the line. We called Logan's stepdad, him picking up the phone, which he was probably annoyed that it was 1 in the morning by this time. He'd said that he'd meet us by the side of the road where we had entered. We left all of our gear and ran like hell to the road. We slept on the floor in the living room for the remainder of the night. In the morning, we returned to camp. Everything was just as we left it. I walked out in the direction where the pair of eyes were. As I stood there, we roughly thought it was standing at. As I stood where we roughly thought it was standing at the time, we figured the pair of eyes sat above my hip line. For reference, I'm 5'9". Today, we never really know what it was. Looking back now as an adult, I've made several hunting trips out west and have hunted lions. I think it might have been a lion. They're rare, but have been seen in the area.
I love this story and the fact that like you can, it's a classic. I mean, it takes you right back, you know, to you're like a 12, 13 year old kid. You got your buddies. We're going to go camping in the backyard. Yeah.
really explain the scone pair of eyes all the noises we heard that night. I just tell myself it was a lion to keep me from going down the rabbit hole of emotions and ideas. I agree. That's what I tell myself in when me and my brother, but the eyes never left. Like it never turned its head. It never left. So it was either, it was either two green lights.
It was a lion
in the middle of nowhere.
That's where my mind always goes. Like the best rational answer is the answer.
Yeah.
It's the ones that are unexplainable that are truly terrifying.
That's what I tell myself. That was an encounter with the lion.
Me too. We got a couple more. I'll leave you with the last one, but this one's Keenan Simpson. He says, I'm a big fan of the podcast. I recently had a spooky nighttime encounter out in BC, Canada, so I figured I'd send it in. Opening weekend, my friend and I planned to hunt an alpine area looking for mule deer. He couldn't make it for the first 2 days, so I went up alone. I only brought my tarp for shelter, and there was a fire ban going on, so I was a little apprehensive about the sleeping situation. So I just told myself that an animal encounter at night would be statistically highly unlikely. The first night was all good. The next day, I hunted from dawn till dusk. There were two other hunters in the area, and they'd gone down to an alpine lake in the basin to collect water. Their voices traveled well, and I distinctly remember them talking about how they were seeing cougar sign. Which I'd also been noticing in the area. That evening, just as I was brushing my teeth, I love to picture myself in these situations, yeah. Right? So you're out there completely alone. You're in this high alpine area, totally out there. It's pitch dark. You know, you're doing your thing. You're standing there just brushing your teeth. He says, it's about 15 minutes after sunset. I saw lights flashing across the valley, thinking someone across was flashing their headlamp at me for fun. I flashed back. That's when I noticed a pair of eyes. He says, this is dramatic, but true. They were wide set, close to the ground, and only 15 yards away. I immediately grabbed my gun, which is beside my tarp, and backed away from the cluster of trees. I've seen eyes at night before, but these were bigger, and I would soon realize that they were only coming closer, reacting any time I moved or turned my body. I intermittently turned my headlamp on and off to see if I could make out the shape of the animal during our standoff. But without the headlamp, the eyes would disappear and I would lose track of it. That's
scary.
Scary thought. Yep. We proceeded to have a 2-minute long standoff, during which time it came up to within 5 yards of me. Ultimately, I managed to draw in it into the open when I fired a shot in the general direction and it ran off. If I turned my headlamp off to look through the scope, I saw black. Pretty rattling. I hiked my sleeping bag over to the tent of the other hunters, which were a few hundred yards away. They let me sleep on the ground next to their tent. That must be pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
To pull up camp and hike over to a couple random dudes out in the woods. Can I sleep next to your tent? He says, they let me sleep on the ground next to their tent where I felt far more comfortable having the scent of three people. They had also heard the shots and seen the cougar run by their camp.
So it was a cougar.
5 yards, though, in the middle of the night, dark, you're brushing your teeth. He said, I was so focused the whole time, I realized I never even stopped brushing my teeth.
He had his toothbrush in his mouth the whole time.
Isn't that paint a great picture, right? Like, you're standing there brushing your teeth, and you're so focused and so freaked out, you run back and grab your gun, fire a shot, and you've still got your toothbrush in your mouth?
Yeah, that's when you're focused. You're locked in at that point.
Yep. He said, I would have had a terrible night without those guys. He said, I made sure my friend brought a real tent for the second part of our trip. He said, I reported this all to the local game and fish and confirmed that the cougar was not hit, so he didn't hit it. I mean, being stalked by a mountain lion during the day is scary enough, but then at night, you're just getting ready to get in your tent and you're brushing your teeth and all of a sudden there's a lion 5 yards from you.
Yeah.
I've never been scared of lions when I'm out.
You know what's interesting? Two is the false confidence that a tent will give you.
Oh yeah. That one's hilarious. Actually.
Like, the tent isn't going to do, I mean, it is, this Dyneema ain't going to do shit when it's a lion.
But man,
you feel
10 feet tall. You crawl into your sleeping bag and you've got those little walls around you. Shelter. You're in your little cocoon. You feel like everything's good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing, anything goes bump in the night, you're way less concerned about it.
Which is so funny to me.
It is funny. I like to sleep with my head out a lot. I mean, right?
I like to sleep just on the
Yeah, on the ground. Yeah, you just throw
that's
it out.
That's my preferred
me,
way to sleep.
Me too. You throw it out on the ground, but there is a different feeling for sure. From that to in. Just having a tent around yeah. you, which is...
just a thin piece of material.
Yeah. All right, we'll round it out with the last one.
Matt Kennett. I was deer hunting with my dad when I was about 14, just outside of Strathmore, Alabama. Alberta.
Probably.
Strathmore, Alberta, at the end of November. We were walking through a pasture looking for deer and sat until dark. No deer, so walking back to the truck in the complete dark, not a lot of light pollution out here, and I hadn't seen another person all night. All of a sudden, it was as if someone turned on high beam lights in the entire sky. I could see almost as good as if it was the afternoon. It lasted for maybe 5 seconds and returned to complete darkness. My dad and I were both speechless as to what just happened, and we were more curious than scared. Sounds kind of like your.
Yeah, only mine was red light, but still.
Oh, right.
Yeah, still pretty freaky.
Turns out it was a meteorite that had hit on the Alberta-Sask border.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. One of the coolest things I've ever experienced. Yeah, that's what I would, I mean.
Yeah, but you have a time frame from when that happened to then finding out that it's a meteorite. That whole time frame, you're like, what the hell just happened?
So not a lot of light pollution there.
Yeah,
completely. Hadn't seen another person. All of a sudden, as if someone turned on high beam lights in the entire sky.
That would freak you out.
That would freak you out. Because, you go home, you don't know what that was.
I have like a...
You have no idea.
I have a similar-ish. So I was up to the archery range one time.
By the way, the AB turns out it is Alberta.
Alberta, gotcha. So Alberta, Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was up shooting my bow one time, and it was when we had that the full eclipse.
Yeah.
And I was like shooting my bow and I'm like looking around and I'm like, what?
Pure darkness.
It didn't get like, because it was middle of the day, but like the eclipse, but it turns into this really weird light. It's like, dusky. But I remember thinking like, what in the hell is going on? You're like looking around the light. Yeah. And then, I finally did like look up at the sun. You can see it being darkened out by the moon. But I mean, there's an answer to that one, but I do remember feeling like, oh, this is an eerie feeling. This is weird. It's abnormal. Feels strange.
Yeah.
A meteorite.
At least when you get the validation that it was a meteorite yeah. and not something like that is pretty cool to think back on that.
Pretty cool. Still weird.
Still weird though.
And random, huh?
I mean,
what are the chances?
Very.
Anyway, that was it. That was the Halloween edition. We had a couple more. We had, I'll have to get the guy for next year. Actually, I thought about leading this episode with his because he actually called in and left a voicemail and told the whole story. And I don't know if I should. I'm going to save it. I'll save it. Either that or maybe we can tack it on to the front of it because even the voicemail that he left, it's like kind of crackly,
So it gives it more of a vibe.
It gives it the full vibe. So maybe we'll try to tack that on the front. But that was a good story. Perry Hall, I think, was that individual's name. So shout out to Perry for sending us that story and the voicemail. It was creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I look forward to this one every year, but I also say like it leaves me a little bit unhinged.
Yeah. Bones and Jordan have a good one too.
Yeah,
we should come on and talk about it.
I thought maybe we should, but I wanted to give people a chance. We'll have to get those guys on to tell the full story.
Yeah.
They see some UAPs.
And experience some weird stuff.
Like energy?
And like things were different.
Levitating?
Things, when they got back to their stuff, it was,
no
it was
way.
Different than when they left it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we will have to have them on.
It's like
maybe we'll start next week's podcast with one more scary story. They're
pretty
as a bonus.
They're pretty like blown away by it. They don't know how or why.
What?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, they dropped their packs. I'll just a quick little mm-hmm. like surface level. They drop their packs, they go off in glass. They're on a glassing knob. Their packs are 30, 40 feet away, mm-hmm. like just off the top. When they get back down to their packs, they were different than when they left them.
It was the mountain man.
Could have been.
Found their packs and went through them.
Could have been.
I think that's really creepy. That's creepy. That kind of stuff creeps me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then they're going through their heads thinking that they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because what was different on their packs are like, there's no way we hiked in all that way and didn't notice that those, that...
pack was like that. There's no way.
Man, there's so much in this weird, wild world that like is unexplainable. And man, I don't know.
Different dimensions.
Yeah, different dimensions. You dive down rabbit holes, you can really spin your wheels. But I appreciate everybody sending your stories in. That was really fun. I look forward to this in every year. And I guess I hope everybody has a happy, non-freaky Halloween. Nothing too weird happens.
Freaky but safe.
Weird good.
Freaky but safe. So then we have more stories to talk about.
Yeah, weird good is always good. That's the other thing is you can always count on. We could do this episode. We could probably do this episode every week for the rest of the year. And we would have enough entries, people sending in emails of saying like, this happened to me or this happened to me. There's so much weird stuff that happens out in the woods.
Unexplainable.
But be safe and happy Halloween. Are you dressing up?
I believe so.
You and the wife, you guys usually do, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. We go full in with the family.
Do you know what you're going to be?
My kid's changed his mind like 9 times, so I can't keep up anymore. I told Taylor, just buy me whatever I'm dressing up as. I'm done.
You're
thinking.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad. My kids have all kind of they've aged out on it. My youngest is 12. He might, but I don't know if he will or not.
Yeah.
But the other ones.
It is fun with kids, man.
It's way so fun, man. Those are some of my favorite memories of like, especially my middle kid. I don't know why. Most of the time he ignores me completely now. But when he was a young man or young kid, he would always want me to go trick-or-treating with him. And so I'd walk around with him. And I look forward to it every Halloween. It was awesome. It was fun. So.
Yeah. I'm enjoying that part of life right now.
Well, have fun. Happy Halloween, everybody. Stay safe. Kill big bucks and big bulls and, you know, stay safe and have some success.
We made it to the holiday season.
We made it. And we're out. Buy a new teepee.
Yeah, buy the teepee. See ya.